Hi, I'm Phil Newman, and welcome to the Impact Online podcast. We are so glad you're here. Well, hey, everyone, it's great to have you here today. Hey, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, I really believe that God's got a word for you today. Believe you'll be encouraged, believe you'll be comforted. Really believe this week there'll be a fresh sense of revelation and fire in your life. We are in the middle of our prayer series, speaking from the Lord's Prayer. We've called it Pray Like This. Jesus teaches us a lot about how not to pray, and he teaches us how to pray. Let's get into it. Matthew 6, it says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." This week, we are speaking about your will be done. We pray it, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Hey, now, Tam and I, we have a will. Recently, we went to lawyers and we did what you do, went through that whole process, and it is a legal, finalized document. It's our will. It says how we want, you know, the vast empire of Phil and Tamia Newman's assets to be treated. You know, if we were to pass on and go to heaven, how our assets and how our valuables would be treated. It's our will. Now, you might have opinion about what we should do with our stuff. You might disagree with what we're doing with our stuff. You might have a whole lot of very reasonable, convincing, strong arguments about how we should do what we're going to do with our stuff. And all of those things, at the end of the day, all amount to nothing because it's our will. We've gone through the process of making sure that our will is clear, and then no matter how strong the emotion, no matter how strong the people, no matter how strong the arguments are, all those things have to step aside to make sure that our will is done. People may disagree, people may have a problem, people may object, but at the end of the day, it's been clear that our will is this, and so our will must be done. Now, when we pray, "Lord, let your will be done," we are praying in a similar way. Everything that opposes your will, God, everything that's standing in your will's way, no matter how strong it is, no matter how convincing it is, no matter how evil it is, no matter how manipulative it is, no matter how scary it is, no matter how forceful it is, all these things, no matter how big or small or public or private these objections are, they must all stand aside so that your will would be done. You know, the word will, it comes from a word thelema, and it means the purpose, the choice, the desire, and the determination of God. God has a plan, God has a will, God has a purpose, God has a choice, God has a desire, God has made a determination about your life, about your family, about your money, about your health, about your mental health, about your emotional life, about your relationships. He hasn't made the best choice. He has set about the best determination. He has the perfect will for your entire life. And as big as objections can be, as dramatic as objections can be, as forceful as objections can be, when we pray, "Lord, let your will be done," we are agreeing with God that all of those objections at the end of the day must step aside so that his beautiful, perfect, and powerful will takes place for our lives. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you." That is the word will. God has a will for you. I know my will for your life. It is a plan. It is a will to prosper you and not to harm you. A plan, a will to give you a hope and a future. It is his will. And we know where there's a will, there's a way. God has an incredible intent, determination, plan, purpose, desire, choice for your life. He has a great will. His will is that you are blessed. His will is that you are healed. His will is that you are forgiven. His will is that you are free. His will is that you are at peace. His will is that you are joyful. Come on, His will is that you are connected. His will is that you are kind. His will is that you are strong. His will is that you are anointed. The list goes on. God has only good things in His intent, in His will, in His purpose for your life. Our God has an incredible will for you. And when we pray, let your will be done, we are reminding ourselves, we are reminding circumstances, we are reminding the enemy, we are reminding the atmosphere, we are reminding everything that needs reminding that at the end of the day, as strong as other people's wills are, as strong as other forces' wills are, there is only one will that we will accept. There is only one will that must cut through, and that is the will of our Heavenly Father. And so today we're going to unpack this today. And my hope is that your prayer life would really get another level of confidence and authority and inheritance, that you would pray, Lord, let your will be done, that you wouldn't put up with anything less than His will for your life. Three things today. When we pray, let your will be done, we are praying against anything that opposes His will. Anything that opposes His will. Think about that word, opposes. I tell you, some people, it just feels like their mission in life, feels like their ministry in life is to be opposing. They are the opposition. That as good, as reasonable, as perfect as a plan or a strategy or an idea or a paint color selection or a musical choice or a volume setting is, it just seems like they are wired to oppose. They are wired to come against. They are wired to give it a hard time. You know, anything that opposes the will of God must bow. And I want you to understand that today, because so easily when you're in the midst of a battle, maybe you're in a battle today, when you're in the midst of a battle, when you are in the trenches, it can just feel like the enemy, the battle, the challenge, the opposition is just so great. And sometimes we can let fatigue set in, tiredness set in, a sense of, look, I'll just survive set in. And I want to remind you today that anything that opposes the will of God must step aside, because His will is the will that will be done. You know, in Philippians 2, 9 to 11, it says, therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place, not a high place, not a pretty good place, not even a great place, but the highest place, and gave Him the name that is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today, as we pray, let your will be done, we are praying and reminding ourselves and the enemy that everything, anything that opposes the will of God must bow. And I want to remind you today that you have victory in God, that He is the greatest, He is the highest, He will open every door, He will defeat every Goliath, He will take down every lowercase k king. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And as you pray, Lord, let your will be done, as you proclaim the name of Jesus, as you rise up in your authority, that every knee will bow on the above the earth, in heaven, on the earth, under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a great promise. And I want to remind you today that anything that opposes His will must bow. Number two, when we pray, let your will be done, we are praying against anything that hides His will. Anything that hides His will. Have you ever prayed or ever thought, God, I would do your will if I just knew your will. God, I would do your will if I just knew what it was. Hey, I don't know about you, think about your sort of attitude towards this, but I love renovations. We're going through renovations in our home at the moment, and Tam and I, we handle renovations very, very differently. I love it. I love the planning and the getting it all ready and the blueprint and the picking everything, and it's just great. And then the day we pull the trigger and the walls start getting gutted and stuff starts getting ripped up and it looks like absolute chaos, I love knowing what's happening, how everything's coming together, and that beautiful day where everything's finished and we can stand back and just take great pride and great joy in how everything has come together. Tam, she handles it a bit differently. She just sees absolute chaos. She sees the dust. She hears the noise. She sees the walls coming down. She's the sort of girl who, as the workmen are carrying the dusty gyprock through the house to the skip bin, she's vacuuming the floor behind them. And I'm going, babe, don't you know that there are 50 more trips to the skip bin? She's like, you know what? I'm going to vacuum it 50 more times just so I feel like something's happening. I don't know about you. Are you in the love the renovation camp, or are you in the not so like the renovation camp? I wonder where you sit in it. But here's the thing, it can look like chaos. You can look, I don't know how all this is fitting together. What I guess makes me different in that situation is I keep remembering the plan. I keep remembering where we're going. I keep remembering the choices we've made. I keep remembering the determination. And so all the stuff that I can see that would seem to indicate chaos and mess and no plan, I can see through that only because I understand what the plan is. Now, in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word, God, is a lamp to my feet, and your word is a light to my path." Why do we need a lamp? And why do we need a light? Because it is dark. Because we can't see well, because we struggle to know where to go and what to do. And I think this is one of these prayers where we say, Lord, let your will be done. We are cutting through the darkness, cutting through the chaos, and getting a fresh glimpse and getting a fresh vision of what God wants to do. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10, it says, "However, as it is written, your eye has what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, just looks like chaos. The things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit." You might not be able to see it. You might not be able to hear it. You might not be able to understand it, but in your spirit, you can grab a hold of it. You know, when we pray, "Let your will be done," we are praying, Lord, show me your will. Give me your light. Give me your vision. Give me your revelation that in the middle of the chaos, I may be able to get a glimpse of your will. You know, when we pray, "Let your will be done," I really honestly believe we're cutting aside confusion. We're cutting aside any sense of being overwhelmed. We're cutting aside all those preconceptions and past experiences that we can sometimes filter God's will through, and we can't understand what's happening because we're looking at it through old eyes. Maybe you're cutting aside jadedness where you might have been hurt or disappointed or betrayed, or it hasn't worked out that way for you in the past. And so there's a sense of skepticism, and I'll believe it when I see it, and a sense of leaning back. We're cutting aside that stuff. All those things, they hide the will of God. They cloud our vision. They cloud our senses. They cloud our spirit. And when we pray, "God, let your will be done," we are praying against anything that would hide his will. God has a good plan for your life. God has a great plan for your life. And my prayer is that as you start to pray with confidence that his will would be shown to you, that his light and his lamp would help guide your path. Number three, lastly, anything that opposes his will, anything that hides his will, and lastly, anything that cheapens his will. Everyone say the word cheapens. Anything that cheapens his will. You know, one of the greatest lies that the enemy can use when it comes to the will of God is, it's not that good. It might be fine, it might be okay, but it's not that good. And the reason this is dangerous, the reason it's dangerous to lower the perfection of the will of God, the reason it's dangerous to reduce the will of God to something, I guess, average or something reasonable or something okay, the something that's just not that good, is all of a sudden we then give a place and a platform for other things to step up and seem better. Nothing's better than will of God. And so when we reduce that standard, though, we get into that dangerous place of seeing better options, more attractive options, things that okay, well, in the scheme of things, it might not seem that bad, and we can start compromising on the beautiful, perfect will of God. How do we spend our money? Am I faithful to my partner? Do I keep serving God? Do I keep doing this? Do I avoid that place or that circumstance? All these sorts of choices, when we reduce down and cheapen the will of God to, well, it can't be that good, or it's not that bad, all of a sudden we get into that place where other things seem more expensive or seem richer than His will, where nothing is richer, nothing is better than the will of God. I want to remind you today that God's will is perfect. God's will is amazing. God's will is magnificent. God sent His Son Jesus to purchase your freedom. He gave His absolute best because He has the best. If God just had something that wasn't that good, He would give a sacrifice that wasn't that good. But because He has the best for you, He gave His best for you. And all of this is possible because of Jesus. Jesus came and He died on that cross for our sin, for our lives. He died, He gave His absolute best for us to have the best. And as we acknowledge, you know, I'm a sinner and I need saving, I'm a mess and I need help, and I'm sick of trying and I'm sick of being in this cycle of accumulating sin and debt and faults and making mistakes and having to fix it up and around and around this tiring, striving, never-ending, and ultimately leading nowhere circus merry-go-round, when we want to short-circuit that and say, finally, Jesus, I need Your grace. Jesus, I need Your forgiveness. Jesus, I need to get my life right. Then once and for all, our hearts can find peace. And if you don't know Jesus, or you once did, but for whatever reason you've walked away, I want to encourage you today, ask you, invite you to join me as I pray today to get your life right with Jesus. Lord, I pray for those who for the first time are again saying to You today, Lord, I need to get things right. I need Your forgiveness. I need Your grace. I need You to help break me out of this sin cycle, this mess cycle, this shame cycle. Lord, I thank You that their hearts be filled with incredible peace, joy, and eternity. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. For us all, my hope is that our prayers would lift. My hope is that our prayers would stand with authority and speak with inheritance, that when we say, Lord, let Your will be done, that we would understand that it is a prayer of breakthrough. They are breakthrough words. They are strong words. They are anointed words. They are powerful words. They're praying against anything that opposes His will, anything that hides His will, and anything that cheapens His will. God has a perfect will, determination, purpose, desire, and intent for your life. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything else. It is God's will for you to be blessed, God's will for you to be free, and God's will for you to be all that He has called you to be. In Jesus' wonderful name, God bless.
Thanks for listening to our Impact Online podcast. We release a new episode every week, and you can access all our podcasts and videos via our website. Visit impactchurch.me for lots of extra resources. We'll see you next time at Impact Online.